Well, greetings in our Savior's name, and welcome as we join together again this day in a drive-in service to offer praise, honor, and glory unto Him. Before I get to the message this morning, there are four important points I'd like us to keep in mind. Number one, the Lord has given us a glimpse into the future through the book of Revelation. Number two, the book of Revelation has been given to us to inform us, not to frighten us, to prepare us, not to scare us. Number three, the Lord is reminding us, I know the future, I am sovereign, I am informing you, pay attention. And then number four, we need to keep our eyes open and look at events from a biblical perspective. That's what we are called upon to do, to look at the world events, everything that's happening from a biblical perspective. The research agency, George Barna, recently conducted a survey. And in that survey, he determined that 6% of Americans have a biblical worldview. Only 6%. Now, I presume that Canada is somewhere in the same midst. However, in terms of those in Campbellford and those of the Campbellford Baptist Church, we want to make sure that we all have a biblical worldview and we look at world events from a biblical and from a divine perspective. Every now and then I attempt to put myself in the shoes of John the Apostle. Just remember that he was exiled to the island of Patmos. He was in prison. And miraculously, the Lord took him and took him not only to all the glories of heaven, but also led him into the future, at least into the 21st century. Absolutely amazing when you think about it. What a magnificent experience this must have been. Shocking in some ways, eye-opening in another, but to be in the very presence of God would have been a marvelous experience for John the Apostle. Not only did he see far into the future, well into where we are in this day and age, but he also experienced the glories of heaven. And in experiencing that, he also had glimpses of God's special creation in the form of angels who would perform God's given assignment. What an experience this must have been for him. Now, just as an aside to this message, there are people who believe in angels and people who do not. There are people who erroneously feel that when we die, we go to heaven and we become angels. This is not so. The scripture tells us that we are actually higher than the angels, and that's something to behold. However, if you ever want to undertake a study on angels, an excellent place to start is looking at the book of Revelation and underline or write down every time an angel is mentioned and determine what that angel's particular assignment was. Of course, we discover there are angels in the Old Testament as well. Now, previously, in our reading in Revelation chapter 18, we learned about the mission of another angel, not the angels who brought about the seal judgments or the trumpet judgments or the bowl judgments, but another angel. And he had great authority. And not only did he have great authority, but his appearance was absolutely breathtaking. And it seems as though he must have been in the very presence of God the Father before he was given his particular assignment. I wonder if you remember what his assignment was. He had a lot to say, but what he did say was, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great." Babylon the Great. We see down through the history of Scripture the words Babylon and what it means. The question that we have for today is, does this Babylon exist today, or will it exist in the near future? Yes, there is a city called Babylon. It's about 100 kilometers south of Baghdad. It's a most important city in the area known as Mesopotamia, founded on the Euphrates River about 4,000 years ago. It is important to us because the Tower of Babel is in that area, and Babel and Babylon, they were the center of Satan-possessed idolatry and demonism. And that happened then, and it carries on even until today. I find it intriguing, as I mentioned previously, that the United Nations has determined that Babylon is a heritage place. They did this in 2019, a World Heritage Site. The special angel was given the task of telling everyone that Babylon has fallen. Now, obviously, if this angel, just coming out of the presence of God the Father, was told to give this message, it must have been vitally important. So another question that we have for today, is this present-day city influential enough to affect the whole world, both religiously and economically? We concluded at our last study that the answer is both yes and no. Yes, because from the religious standpoint, the satanic false religion has permeated the world ever since the Tower of Babel. And no, on the commercial side, because it does not seem or appear to have that kind of influence in the world today. Now, in chapter 17, we discovered that the reference to Babylon is not so much an actual city, but rather a religious influence, that will affect the entire world. It exists today and will become more prominent when the true church of Jesus Christ is taken out of this world at the rapture. You and I, when that trumpet sounds, if we know Jesus as our Savior and our Lord and put our trust in Him, we'll be taken up to be with Him. And then shortly thereafter, this tribulation period begins. And that's when, if you forgive the expression, all hell is going to break out here on planet Earth. Even casual observation today shows us the rise of the occult in various forms. However, we also learn that the Antichrist, near the end of the tribulation, will be taking all the honor and glory that was given to the false prophet and taking it unto himself, the Antichrist. He does not want any kind of competition. He is going to take all of the riches and all the people worshiping him from the false prophet to the Antichrist himself. Remember now, both the false prophet and the Antichrist continue to be influenced by Satan. They become the unholy trinity. The Antichrist wants no competition in terms of worship. The kings of the earth will go along with the Antichrist's direction, even in terms of assuming worship himself. Absolutely incredible when we think about it, that one personage would demand all of this attention. But this is true ever since before the Garden of Eden. In Revelation chapter 17, we learned about the Babylonian religious system that will permeate the world. In Revelation 18, we are learning about the Babylonian commercial system, which will also permeate the world. And you and I need to keep in mind that while it will come to fruition during the tribulation period, these two systems are alive, active, and well today. So let's refer to our scripture reading, which is found in Revelation chapter 18, beginning to read at verse number 10, the last part of verse number 10, and into verse number 20. The angel said, let us hear the word of God. The angel said, "Woe, woe, O great city, O Babylon, city of power, in 1 hour your doom has come. The merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, because no one buys their cargoes anymore, cargoes of gold, silver, precious stones and pearls, fine linen, purple, silk, and scarlet cloth, every sort of citron wood, and articles of every kind made of ivory, costly wood, bronze, iron, and marble, cargoes of cinnamon and spice, of incense, myrrh, and frankincense, of wine and olive oil, of fine flour and wheat, cattle and sheep, horses and carriages, and bodies and souls of men. They will say, 'The fruit you long for is gone from you. All your riches and splendor have vanished, never to be recovered.' The merchants who sold these things and gained their wealth from her will stand afar off, terrified at her torment. They will weep and mourn and cry out, 'Woe, woe, O great city, dressed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, and glittering with gold, precious stones and pearls. In 1 hour, such great wealth has been brought to ruin. every sea captain and all who travel by ship, the sailors and all who earn their living from the sea, will stand afar off. When they see the smoke of her burning, they will exclaim, "Was there ever a city like this great city?" They will throw dust on their heads and with weeping and mourning cry out, "Woe, woe, O great city, where all who had ships on the sea became rich through her wealth. In 1 hour she has been brought to ruin. Rejoice over her, O heaven. Rejoice, saints and apostles and prophets. God has judged her for the way she treated you." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now please remember, this is not fiction. This is not a fairy tale. This is absolute truth. It is the word of God. This is what the world is going to be facing at a particular point future in time. There are at least two schools of thought concerning commercial Babylon. One is that the ancient city will actually be rebuilt and it will be the center of economic influence. We don't see that now, but it could well be coming, or it could refer to another city. As I mentioned last time, sometimes people think that it may even be New York City because it is a system, not necessarily just a city. The second school of thought is that, like the Babylonian religious system, which is not an actual location, so will the Babylonian commercial system be, not a specific location, but a commercial influence. Well, what we do not know is the exact form of either the religious or the commercial Babylon. We see hints about it. Things are forming even today. But we do not know its final form. But what we do know is that the effect of the commercial decline will be worldwide, and the kings and merchants of the earth will mourn over her fall. Whereas the kings of the earth assisted the Antichrist in the destruction of the religious system, they will not be assisting him in the destruction of the commercial system. This will be all his work. And the kings of the earth, the leaders of this world, all of those who are leading in any way, the scripture tells us they were mourning, and they mourned deeply. Why? Because this is where it drastically affected their livelihood. Wherever they put all of their emphasis, this has now disappeared. That's why it is so important for you and me not to put our emphasis and our interest on earthly things. We are to concentrate on heavenly things. We are to store up our treasure not here on earth, but in glory. We'll be able to use it when we get to glory. Three times in this passage of scripture that we read this morning, we see the use of the words, "in 1 hour." In 1 hour, your doom has come, in verse number 10. In verse number 17, "In 1 hour, such great wealth has been brought to ruin." And in verse number 19, the second part, "In 1 hour, she has been brought to ruin." This implies speed when we see "in 1 hour." Whether it will be actually 60 minutes or not, I don't know. But it does say "in 1 hour." And you and I have experienced this kind of speed over these past 18 months or so. When we think about the COVID pandemic that's been going on throughout the world, none of us would have imagined that it would begin where it began and then it would spread throughout the world as rapidly as it has. It has affected every area of life of people throughout the world, negatively affected every area of life. When we think about it, medical appointments were changed or canceled or ultimately postponed. Sports events of all varieties were canceled. Business and industry were greatly affected. Entertainment and even church attendance was negatively affected. Praise be to God that we are able to meet this morning as a congregation, not together as usual in the sanctuary, but together in our vehicles, and we're able to come and worship Him. COVID spread quickly, and the destruction of Babylon is going to spread very quickly. The pandemic did a lot of damage and is doing a lot of damage. And we think about the effect the instruction had on the world's commercial enterprise. think how bad it's going to be when all of the shipping lanes are closed and the exchange of goods throughout the world is going to be curtailed, even to the point of leading to destruction. Recently, I read of a Canadian man who examined the clothes he's been wearing and the items he uses every day. And this is what he discovered. His underwear was made in China. His suit was made in Taiwan. His shirt was made in the Honduras. His sandals came from Brazil. His lettuce and tomatoes came from California. His coffee came from Colombia. His tea came from India. His dinner dishes came from England, and his cutlery came from Japan. So when we think about it, that's the economy of today. And when the sea lanes are closed and merchandise stops arriving, both luxury and non-luxury items will cease to be available. Not only will the kings and leaders of the earth and the merchants of the earth be weeping, but so will the human inhabitants of earth. They will weep and they will mourn. Now remember now, we will not be here during that time because we will have been raptured out and we will be in heaven. I don't know how much the Lord is going to allow us to see what's going on here on earth while we are in heaven. But we know that we will be in his glory. In a few minutes, I'm going to read the last part of Revelation chapter 18. But in verse number 20, we read this, "Rejoice over her, O heaven. Rejoice, saints and apostles and prophets. God has judged her for the way she treated you." From this verse, we get heaven's glimpse of what is happening. While the kings and merchants and the people of earth will be weeping and mourning, heaven, in contrast, will be rejoicing. Heaven observes and anticipates this upcoming event and all that is happening on earth, looking at it from a biblical perspective, looking at it from God's perspective, not from ours, not from the media's perspective, but from a biblical perspective. Every person who has ever prayed the Lord's Prayer and concluding with, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," the prayer will be answered by that time. This major God-directed event is about to happen. Now, what did that verse chapter 18, verse 20 tell us? It said that, "Rejoice, saints." That's believers. Believers in Jesus Christ, not special people. "Rejoice, apostles." The apostles during the New Testament, they prophesied this. They predicted it. They preached about it. And the prophets of the Old Testament, they prophesied it. And as I said earlier, this is not fiction. This is not somebody's imagination. This is fact. Heaven rejoices, but earth mourns. The second part of chapter 18 in Revelation, looking at verses 21 to 24, let us hear the word of God. "Then a mighty angel picked up a boulder the size of a large millstone and threw it into the sea and said, 'With such violence, the great city of Babylon will be thrown down, never to be found again. The music of harpists and musicians, flute players and trumpeters will never be heard in you again. No workman of any trade will ever be found in you again. The sound of a millstone will never be heard in you again. The light of a lamp will never shine in you again. The voice of the bridegroom and bride will never be heard in you again. You are merchants, were the world's great men. By your magic spell, all the nations were led astray. In her was found the blood of prophets and of the saints and of all who have been killed on the earth." Again, this is the word of the Lord. What an amazing truth this is. The word tells us that a mighty angel picked up a boulder the size of a large millstone and threw it into the sea. You'll notice he talks about the violence that has occurred, both because of religious and commercial Babylon during the tribulation period will be stopped, never to be started again. As we observe in our own society, in these unprecedented times, there's great violence that has taken place and is taking place. It's taken place at home and abroad just recently, we looked at a number of the riots that have been taking place and the senseless mass shootings that have occurred. We can say deep from our heart, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. The angel throwing the stone will result in the complete annihilation of Babylon and its godless influence. Throughout the centuries, God's people have experienced not only rough treatment, but also humiliation, degradation, and even martyrdom. And this is happening today. Don't you get the feel of what's going on today in today's society? The things of Scripture, the things of truth, the things of biblical truth are being mocked, and people are being confused. They think that truth is evil and evil is truth. Just absolutely unbelievable. We're getting further and further away from the dictates of what Scripture tells us that we ought to do. Looking back in history, through the eyes of Edward Gibbon, who in 1778 wrote a book entitled The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire, we discover five basic reasons why that great civilization withered and died. What were the five reasons? Number one, the undermining of the dignity and sanctity of the home. Believe me, this is happening today. A family is a father and a mother and children, male and female and children. The Scripture is very clear. There's the decline happening in our day and age. Number two, higher and higher taxes. And if we don't think our taxes are going to increase, just wait a number of months and we'll see. Number three, the mad craze for pleasure. Now remember, this is referring to the fall of Rome. Number four, the building of great armaments when real enemy is actually within. And think about our countries today. And number five, the decay of religion with faith fading. That was the Roman Empire. It sounds very much like our day and age. But it really will be experienced during the latter half of the tribulation period. Now remember now, the true church and its influence is no longer on earth. Its influence is gone. People will be doing what they consider to be right in their own eyes. In the book of Judges, speaking about the people of Israel, there were kings and people who did everything that was right in their own eyes, but not doing what was right in God's eyes. During the tribulation, there will be absolutely no reference to our triune God. Now you'll note the words in verse 23, by your magic spell, all the nations were led astray. When we see the words by your magic spell, might lead us to the conclusion that it's not all that serious. It's just some sort of a magic thing. However, it is very serious. A better translation would be, by your sorceries, all nations will be deceived. All people will be deceived. Through the false religious system, headed by the false prophet, and through the Antichrist, the world dictator, both under the influence of Satan, this unholy trinity will so negatively affect the entire world that it is headed for absolute destruction. People will be drawn under the hypnotic power of Satan, working through demons, and millions will sell their souls, so to speak, in exchange for Satan's favor. Hard to believe, it's happening even today. We've already learned about the Antichrist's insistence that all receive the mark of the beast, a mark on their forehead or their hand during the tribulation, in order to buy and sell. In other words, the Antichrist complete control over all who take the mark. And once a person takes the mark, it can never be erased or dissolved. The mark for all eternity indicates the person's true allegiance, not to God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but to Satan. In chapter 17, we learned of the Babylonian-based false religious system. In chapter 18, we learned of the Babylonian-based false commercial system. In chapter 19, we will learn of an entirely new dimension. The harlot religion of chapter 17 is not a city itself. It is an occultic religious system. And the influence which exists in a spiritually adulterous relationship with the kingdom of the Antichrist. The commercial reference that we find in chapter 18 is also not just a city, but a system which is not only misleading people, but also is anti-God in every possible way. There will be major city influences, I put that in quotes, during the tribulation. Whether it'll be Rome or Babylon or Jerusalem or some other city, wherever the Antichrist sets up his throne, wherever the false prophet sets up his throne, will be centers of immense influence, negative influence, throughout the world. We all know that in the end, God wins. He is sovereign. God will destroy both the false religion and the false commercial or economic system and the cities in which they are headquartered. How he disposes of the Antichrist and the false prophet we'll discover in chapter 19. So between now and then, I cannot overemphasize the need for believers everywhere to become familiar with God's Word, including the book of Revelation, to take it very seriously, to not get so caught up in worldly thoughts and actions that God's Word takes a back step. Believe me, our perspective is changed when we look at both present and future events through God's Word, through the eyes of our Heavenly Father. I cannot overemphasize the need for believers everywhere to share the love of God and the gospel of Jesus with others. And I cannot overemphasize the need for people everywhere to place all of their trust in Jesus as Savior and invite Him to be the Lord of one's life. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank You this day that through Your divine insight You have given to us the book of Revelation, other aspects, other parts of Your holy word, to alert us, to warn us, to guide us, to direct us, to inform us as to what's going to take place. And through it all, O God, we know deep in our heart and deep in our soul that You are sovereign, You are ultimately in control, and we place our hands in Your life, in You, our life in You. Lord God, direct us. Lord God, descend upon us in a powerful way. Heal those who are ill. Touch those who need a touch from You. Encourage those who need encouragement. And Lord Jesus, we pray for the rapture to occur and the rapture to occur soon. We ask this in our Savior's name. Amen.